Boom. Welcome to episode 2 of Dark Sunsets. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes,
we made it. And the introduction was from P-Lo, which that beat was unbelievable. It was an amazing type beat.
P always brings those fire beats. He's been doing it for years. And shout out to P. We appreciate you. You know, keep the hits coming.
Absolutely. Like, that's the type of beat that you would literally flush your dead goldfish to. That's the type of beat that you would do that to.
I mean, either, you know, do that or just go to the pet store and get a new one, you know, one of the two.
You definitely feel as if that was the type of beat that Mike Myers from Halloween wakes up to, and he puts his mask on, and as the beat drops, he's like, all right, time to go outside and take care of some business.
It's dark, but it's got a silver lining to it. So it's, you know, it still has some hope at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Know? It's that ominous type beat where it's concerning, but you're like, you know, the sunset's going to eventually come back, unless you're in Alaska where it lasts for like fucking 30 days.
It'll still eventually come back. It'll make it in just like 6 months.
And sorry, I'm chewing right now. I had some incredible cookies baked by yours truly, Katie, which we don't know if they're edible cookies yet. Still don't know.
But yeah, so welcome back, guys. You know, of course, as always, the darker the sunsets, the brighter the days.
Absolutely. And we have a bunch of feedback that we obviously want to touch on, and we appreciate you guys first listening to that opening episode, which was great. And now, yeah, we're adding some new topics to the mix. And one of the topics that we're talking about this week, we were going back and forth on, was this interesting subject that's happening, which could be a smoke and mirrors type scenario, which is the Jay-Z and Beyonce scenario. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, this whole thing is kind of crazy, but, you know, it's Jay-Z. But on a serious note, though, so apparently Jay-Z and Beyonce are basically trying to get their fans to go vegan. And if they, I don't know how they'll prove this exactly, you know, it might be, you know, a receipt from Whole Foods, Sprouts, you know, something like that.
As you show up to the concert, you have to show that in order to enter.
They got the rewards members card, just a... But yeah, so apparently, you know, they're offering free tickets to their shows for life to anybody supposedly that's, you know, willing to commit to a vegan diet. They're working with some program called the Green Print Program.
Okay.
And it's all about environmentalism, you know, more on the dietary tip, you know, just like eat well, eat healthier, eat safer, whatever that might be. But I feel like this is a smoke and mirror situation.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, as you know, it would be called Tidalgate, where, you know, Jay-Z has a streaming company called Tidal.
Yeah.
And it's basically like an Apple Music or a Spotify, you know, something like that, Pandora.
And they were releasing like exclusive albums directly to that, because I remember I definitely signed up for Tidal just to get someone's album.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you had to, yeah.
Yeah, they had that exclusivity. So apparently allegedly what happened overseas in a certain area, artists claim that Beyonce was getting their plays. So their platform basically works in a way where each time your song gets played, you get paid. And so artists were complaining that they were having certain amount of plays, and these plays were being quote unquote switched over, diverted, you know, whatever, to Beyonce.
Yep.
So she was making extra bread. Those other artists were getting, you know, extra heated, and it was real controversial. So now I think that, you know, when you have this, hey, all my fans switched to vegan, we're giving away, you know, concerts for life to Cedar Cardinals.
It's almost like what's happening is they feel bad for all the money that they took from these other artists as far as their streams. And, you know, they're just sitting at their house in like Hollywood and looking at all the streams come in. And they're like, oh, you think you're getting those streams? No.
The whole thing that's going to be crazy is if I don't know if this is going to happen, but if down the line in like, you know, 6 months, 8 months, you know, next year, if all of a sudden you hear that the Carters, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce had a stake, they just took over something in a vegan company, whether it be like produce growing, like,
yeah,
you know, just vegan, then it'll be full circle. And then you'll know
it's true.
They are truly like the new power business couple.
Absolutely.
If they do that.
If they're able to pull that around, that's like signing a 10-year, like Nike's deal with LeBron. If LeBron's caught dead wearing any Adidas, You're like, you're either a legend or you're a total fucking idiot at what you're doing
like,
here.
You're not going to see Bron in no Yeezys anytime soon. You know, it'll be, you know, Bron in some bronze.
That's it.
You know, Nike will make a new shoe just for LeBron's like, hey, I want to go, you know, this spot. Here's your new Nikes for the night.
And we're laughing about, like, the fact that obviously when this vegan company takes off, if you will, which it probably will because they are the most – unbelievable entrepreneurs in anything that they touch. Jay-Z is from, you know, Marcy Projects, which is in Brooklyn. I used to live just outside of there.
Brooklyn.
So Brooklyn stand up. So which is hilarious to even think where what's he gonna do with he's gonna go to Marcy Projects and be like, listen guys, I know you guys are grilling and you're barbecuing, but you know, I can't have that anymore. But what I can let you know is I can let you know that I have a new restaurant that's half a mile down the block, which doesn't serve any of this. Like, how is that conversation going to go down?
I'm telling you, that's a situation where it's going to be, you know, if Chappelle's Show made a comeback or, you know, the new Key and Peele, so something like that, they're going to have a skit where, you know, one of them's going to be Jay-Z going back to the project. You know, somebody's smoking something and then he's, hey, fellas, you know, it's time for y'all to eat vegan. We need to eat vegan. I ain't doing, you know.
No, just there's like, no way. And imagine like his new album that comes out. It's just like, it's just vegan, and he has like rap battles, and he's doing like songs about veganism. Like the album is just called fucking Yeast.
I feel like it would either be like, if it was controversial, it'd be like Yeast, but if it was like him going to his true vegan self, it'd be like just Veganism Volume 1. You know what I mean?
And he would sell all the records with that. Like, I was thinking about the scenarios going through my mind of trying for him to have conversations with like people that he's familiar with that he knows eat meat. They're like smoking weed, and like someone smokes weed with him and passes him the blunt and goes, what the fuck is a legume?
Well, to say the least, I will say they're definitely great business minds, but he's definitely a great business person. A lot of ventures, you know, so if they do have that hidden vegan company down the line, you know, you heard it here first. But, you know, besides that, you know, he does actually own a lot of different things besides Tidal. He also has owns the Brooklyn Nets. You know, we talked about Brooklyn stand up. But, you know, not only does he own the Brooklyn Nets, he was affiliated in the NBA. NBA's had a lot of big business this week. You know, we had a couple of trades going on.
Yeah, it's been crazy. You think the brow, as we're talking about Anthony Davis, you think he's going to be going to the Lakers? What are your thoughts on it? A lot of hype behind it.
So with that whole thing, I feel as if, yes, you know, short answer is going to be yes, he's going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Long answer is, you know, he shares the same agent as LeBron James, Rich Paul. So he kind of voices, you know, opinion to the Pelicans, telling them that, you know, he wasn't happy with their winning situation. He wants to contend for a title, and he's basically said that he wants to go to the Lakers. So
weren't they offering like literally all of the fucking Lakers players outside of LeBron? They might as well just be like, hey, what else do you want? Do you want like this food truck that's outside the stadium with Lonzo Ball? Literally, who's the guy that whispered in LeBron's ear? What's it?
Lance Stevenson. The whisperer, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
You know, when he started pairing up with LeBron, he's like, you remember when you did that? You're going to New Orleans. You're not living in L.A. anymore. Like, blowing in my ear.
So, I mean, they could technically send all the team except for LeBron, and they can get, you know, Shaq, you know, Charles and Kenny from, you know, TNT Thursday nights. And probably go out and do some work. But
would the Big Baller brand be successful in New Orleans, though?
I think that the Big Baller brand was successful in and of itself because I didn't look at the financials.
Right.
But
the marketing aspect of it.
He
unbelievable.
He was in people's minds. It's kind of like that. I'm not going to say the name of the guy because I'm not doing a plug for it, but it's like that Kia commercial locally. Where he says,
I definitely
hey,
thought you were
going to
say like Billy Mays or
huge.
Something.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, Tampa, that guy.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to give him a plug, though.
Don't plug.
He's already getting, you know, that working. So, but yeah. I mean, Brow will end up in L.A. He kind of, by him saying that he was going to go to L.A., that he wanted to go to L.A., it kind of diminished the trade market. Nobody's going to trade for a player that they're only going to get for, you know, half of a season. They're not going to, you know, give away all those assets. So,
I mean, a lot of shifts. I thought, like, I was reading today with Kyrie, there was a quote from him. He's like, I don't owe anybody shit. Like, I don't owe anyone anything when it comes to, like, signing a new contract with, like, let's say the Lakers, or sorry, with the Celtics. You know, I can definitely see him, which would be an unbelievable team for your Knicks here. I mean, man, could you imagine him, KD, and Zion?
I mean, in a perfect world, you know, that would be crazy.
Would you move back to New York just to be a season ticket holder?
I would go back to a lot of Knicks games while still living in Florida.
Which is so funny because everybody else in the whole planet does the reverse, right? They go from New York and they come to Florida. You'd be the first to be like, you know what? I'm a trendsetter. I'm going back. I'm shifting it.
It's so cold in the winters. You know, you got these polar vortexes. You know, we'll touch back on the cold in a little bit, whatnot. But, you know, the Knicks finally did a good – they're in a good spot. They just traded Kristaps Porzingis. That's their – you know, that was their current star player. And
it's going to be Team Euro in Dallas, huh?
They sent him over to Dallas. They got a couple players back. They got DeAndre Jordan. You know, he's like a, you know, athletic center. You know, throws down alley oops, block shots.
And Dennis Smith
Jr. And then Denny Smith. Yeah, Denny Smith. He's high flyer. He was having a little bit of trouble in Dallas, but you know, the Knicks got two future first round picks. So the Knicks got maybe, you know, 8 to 9 draft picks in the next 4 years.
They're going through a rebuilding stage. Aren't they the worst? No disrespect to you, as you know, you're pulling out your hair right now for the listeners, but they are the worst team in the NBA.
No, it's no hair pull, because you know, the whole thing with the Knicks is that they've always they'll be mediocrely bad. Like, it's like, it's unbelievably believable. You know,
your expectations are so low that you're like, you know what? If they do better than the previous season, you're like, sure. It's almost like being a Bucks fan.
Well, what they do is they're not good. And once they get to the point where you know they're not going to win, they win enough to take them out of the chance to get like a top three or top four pick. And you need to be able to at least, you know, if you're at the point where you're not going to win, you develop the young talent, call it a day, let them get the work in.
Yeah.
You lose some games if need be. You know, if they win, they win. But if they lose, then at least you get that pick. So the Knicks are going to be in a good spot. But
you think Zion's coming? Zion National Park?
If he went to New York, that would be, you know, bananas. But you know, we'll just see. We'll see how everything plays out. You know, the only issue that I have really with sports this weekend is, of course, it's Super Bowl Sunday.
I know.
Coming up.
Yep. And as everyone knows, you're a huge Pats and. Tom Brady fan specifically.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because as I'm looking around, you have each of the Tom Brady jersey from each of his Super Bowls in this room, which, I mean, you're doing it, but.
Yeah, this den, this den's been adorned with just crazy memorabilia, none of which is Patriots related. So, you know, I'm a Jets fan overall. You know, local team, I want them to do well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Bucks get it, you know, turned around as well. But
Boston sports fans across the board just.
You know, I respect what the Patriots do. You know, they do what they do. They have their system. It's a good time. You know, if it was my team that was making it to this many
Super
Bowls.
You'd be equally as arrogant.
Yeah, I'd be extra swaggy. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, it's like Groundhog Day. And it's always the Patriots coming back to the Super Bowl. So, of course, you know, let's go Rams.
Let's go Rams. There's no way you can't. I mean, honestly, when you look at it, obviously, in my opinion, the Saints got robbed.
The Saints have had a tough 2 years.
They should definitely be there. And what's ridiculous is they were like trying to tie 2 and 2 together with – they were trying to tie the fact that the officials had Southern California ties. I don't know if you saw that, and like
one of them was a Crip.
It's like who the fuck doesn't have Southern California ties? You know what I mean? Like
6 degrees of separation, baby. Yeah. You know?
It's like, I mean, when you think of ties, I mean, we're laughing, but like I have ties to being from the Congo. Like it's insane, in which we, you know, kind of even touched on the fresh off the press 23andMe results just came back, and my dad is 0.6 Congolese. I mean, that is tribal right there.
And it's nice because at least you found out just in time for Black History Month. So at least you can.
I'm starting off strong.
Know, you can touch it with the appropriate tone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, stand up.
I mean, stand up. But you're hosting the Super Bowl party, which, you know, you do that, and you and Katie do that all the fucking time, which it sounds like you've done for the past, like, 9-10 years. But you got the cable situation situated. You were breaking it down and walking through. Every TV in the house is going to be decked out.
Yeah. You know, CBS, high definition, you know, Football Sunday. It's always good. It's a good time. It's a fun time. People have more fun when there's football squares and when there's Patriots tears on the floor. So at the end of the day, I just hope everybody has a fun and safe Super Bowl. You know, be safe out there and cheer for the Rams.
Obviously, 100%.
Just cheer for the Rams. It's nothing personal to the Pats. Like, you know, y'all do your thing, but, you know, everybody cheer for the Rams.
And speaking of, obviously, California and the craziness that's happening out there, just south of that place in Mexico, we were laughing before, there's a restaurant in particular called the Pablo Escobar's.
Oh, man.
Which,
yes.
For the listeners who don't know what this is, there is a burger spot that's getting a lot of heat and a lot of controversy that's happening right now.
Hot.
So what they were doing is not only were they having burgers that were branded Pablo Escobar burgers, which I would definitely have a burger there. If I walk past a place that said Pablo Escobar burgers,
please,
I'm going there every single week.
And it was a pop-up. It was a pop-up restaurant.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying?
So what they did was they were in a turmoil and a bunch of heat is they were doing fake lines of what was it? They were doing like fake lines on the burger and a fake dollar bill to like snort coke off your burger.
Yeah, so like the burger had it was like a fake rolled up dollar bill. I mean, hopefully it would be like a fake rolled up 20 at least, but like a fake rolled up dollar bill, and then it said it has a line of garlic flour, and it definitely looks like, you know, narcotic type situation, and you know, so they're getting heat for this, but I'm guessing they're only getting heat because they're making a lot of money from it.
You know? For sure.
Because if people are hating on it, then they're doing their thing. It makes sense. I mean,
any publicity is good publicity, whether it's good or bad.
Pablo Escobar's, like, that's a brand name. It's like Pepsi. That's a brand name. That's crazy.
And I'm sure that's going to go from, I mean, that could literally be the new brand that Jay-Z and Bey do, but they make it just all vegan. Like, could you imagine if Jay-Z was trying to get his cred back? He, like, loses all of his boys for turning into vegan. He's like, but guys, hang on. The burgers are going to have fake garlic powder cocaine on them. Are you cool with it again?
Puts the street cred back out with the burger, the street burgers. In a, it's just...
he hasn't been able to bounce back from Ether, let's be honest. So it's still difficult for him after what he went through with there. So maybe the Pablo Escobar burgers can be his new franchise.
Well, Budweiser's been treating him pretty well. You know, he's got a lot of deals out there. I don't know if he has enough deals as Steve Harvey per se, because Steve Harvey is everywhere right now. He's every award show, every TV show, every radio show.
Is he getting as much work as Kevin Hart? Like, he just says yes to literally everything.
I think that he might have now gotten more work than Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey is on everything. If you turn on MOR, at some point in time, day or night, there's going to be some sort of Steve Harvey something on. He's got radio shows. He's got the Miss America pageant.
Infamous what he did on the Miss America pageant, which...
Which even, you know, but he owned up, so I think that gave him even more cred. Then it's like, he does like a little Big Shots show or something like that.
Right.
I think if there's a Night at the Apollo that came back...
He would do anything.
He basically, he like Nick Cannon... When Nick Cannon had all the jobs, except Steve Harvey's holding on to all the jobs now. Nick Cannon's starting to come back, but he'd be wearing turbans. I don't know.
Yeah.
When I
first started seeing Nick Cannon in like Drumline, I'm like, this guy has a real future. Let's see what this is all about. But then when he started literally wearing like turbans and all the sorts, and obviously it was with Mariah Carey for a minute. And speaking of music, this was another fun story that we're going back and forth with all the homies and laughing about this. Shout out to JD, Justin Davis, laughing about this one in particular. And JR, we were going back and forth. Lil Pump, which sure you guys are familiar with. I don't know if he's Mexican, Spanish, half black, half white. Not sure, but don't really care because not a fan. But he just announced this week that he actually is the best lyricist of all time. And I know you're having difficulty breathing over there, as am I.
Oh, man, man.
But there's definitely a song that he got famous for that says, "Bitch, I flex Rick Ross." I can't even finish it without laughing and being hysterical. But that is definitely something that he said out loud and published. And his songs, if you ever get a chance and watch his shit, like at a live performance, is hype. But what are your views as far as him being the best lyricist, hang on, of all time? No Pac, no Biggie, no Nas in the no conversation, no Eminem, him, a guy named Lil Pump, which is not confused for the name of a squirt gun.
He's made a couple of hits. I'm pretty sure that maybe half the crowd knows, half the crowd doesn't know. At the end of the day, if I could say it in one word, it'd just be wow.
With all the wows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, people say stuff. As the only person that can really say stuff that's outrageous and get away with it is Charles Barkley. So let's just leave it to Charles, Sir Charles, and let him do his thing.
And as we're talking about Lil Pump in particular, this is a first little segment that we want to bring up here. And I just want to play. This is one of his famous songs that has 872 million views.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Let's just hear this opening to see if he's the best lyricist ever. Hang on. Okay. Hey. I mean, definitely a modern Shakespeare when you think about it, when you think about what he can do as far as from a lyrical standpoint. But yeah, real interesting.
Yeah, no, the wordplay was crazy.
It was ridiculous. I mean, that.
It took a moment to just.
But if he came on in like a group setting, you're probably vibing, and so am I. So we Gucci can't go. Gang, yeah, Gucci Gang.
Hey, that was that jam though.
It was.
I'm sitting here, Millie Rocket, just
when
just
that first
it
when that first came out. Yeah, when I started playing that clip, you were just standing up dancing next to your Tom Brady jerseys. It's wild in here,
man. I feel bad. Pat Mahomes, he's gonna be back. Pat Mahomes will be back.
Just, oh yeah, he's gonna make a bounce back. Other crazy shit that happened as well. There was a lady. So we're literally starting from the West Coast and transitioning all the way to Florida, which is obviously where the craziness really occurs. But we're going from California to Mexico, and now we're in Texas. This lady from Texas, I think this was just outside of Dallas, Texas, was caught. Someone called, right? So the story is someone called.
Somebody allegedly called.
Called, yeah. And said, hey, there's a lady inappropriately exposing herself and furiously, I think that was the term, furiously masturbating openly in public. And bless then, which is interesting. And there's photos of this as well, which once we have now, we have an Instagram. Shout out to Bart Simpson for setting us up on that.
I don't think, though, that we're going to have any box shots on IG.
No, no, no.
We'll at least have it censored appropriately so we don't get kicked off the gram.
100%. But we'll definitely have a photo of what this beautiful young lady looks like. So the whole story consisted of a lady getting called by the cops. The cops show up. She's masturbating, flicking the bean, if you will.
Just a little Mexican takeout.
Little ding, ding, ding. And Steve Harvey might have been there to host the show. We don't even know. And then literally as the cops arrest her, she continues to do it in the back of the cop seat.
I think that was the craziest part of the story, just because – you know, if you're getting arrested, the last thing I think you'd be thinking about is, you know, flicking the bean or, you know, just anything like that. Is, you know, who do I need to call, you know, get me out of here? She's sitting there going to town and just, you know, no worries. I mean, I appreciate her enthusiasm throughout life, but that's another wow story.
Yeah, it's a real concern because she's obviously off of her meds of some kind, and it's super wild about that.
But, I mean, besides Mexican takeout, though, speaking of taking out, all right, so you were talking to me earlier, and so it was something about there was like a company or something with a bunch of crypto that got lost. Can you, I don't really remember the whole thing. Can you?
Yeah, so this is wild as well. Good shout on this story. So obviously we all went through a wave of like Litecoin and Bitcoin and all this cryptocurrency.
Those light joints for rugs.
Yeah, shout out to you. And how's your money doing now, J Dave? He's like, not good. Go listen to Gucci Gang by Lil Pump. But the story is, this is a real story that happened in Canada. It's one of the CFOs of the company, and the owner of the company actually passed away. And the CFO came out publicly and said, we lost $150 million in cryptocurrencies that were held for customers, but our founder died, and all of the passports to the wallets were actually held by this owner. So and because it's crypto, right, they're locked and solidified completely. So no one has access to all this money now.
Wow.
So this is really the future, you know, of people who are trying to get involved in this cryptocurrency. This is the bad side of it, right? Like, I know people that order things off the dark web and pay through cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, and they can order it and not have any trace whatsoever. But this is the downside of that.
Well, just Dark Sunsets never affiliates with the dark web, first and foremost. That's a lot of crypto to just be out of, like 150 mil. I mean, racks.
Imagine if you like you went on this whole wave of cryptocurrency, and then all of a sudden, now you know your money's all tied up. And when we're saying tied up as well, we were talking about iPhones in particular and what's going on in the iPhone realm. And you shared this to me. And as soon as you sent it over to me, I'm not even kidding, I fucking went, because I'm a newer iPhone user, shout out to Android, aka I lost like 400 friends by going to an iPhone from an Android. Now I'm back. Shout outs to all the people who are going to hit me up on iMessage.
Hey, iMessage is live, baby.
But I had to turn off my FaceTime because you told me this story.
Right. So there was a glitch, apparently. You know, Apple has now created FaceTime updates where you can do a group FaceTime message. I think it's up to like 20 people, and you know, it's kind of like Zoom. I think Skype does it, you know, YouTube I think also does it, but whenever somebody is on the call and they talk, it, you know, enlarges their picture and shows who's talking. And so whenever you do a FaceTime group call, apparently the glitch was, this is too funny, you call the person on FaceTime, then you proceed to add somebody to the call, and you add yourself. You do that, and then it basically looks like you stopped FaceTime calling the other person. Your phone will be able to apparently listen in.
What?
To the other phone, like Inspector Gadget.
Without even them access?
And they don't know that you're actually on the line. And then if you do the same thing, and instead of them, if they were able to get to the phone and then decline the call, like let's say they, you know, hit the FU button and clocked you, then if they dismissed your call and they did it with that FaceTime thing, it actually will display a video of whatever's on your camera, on your front facing camera. So they'll be able to, like, if you're
like, because the people that do this, right, they look over the phone like they're seeing who's FaceTiming them,
so it would, like,
and they won't answer
you looking at them. Or if you just like did it from the couch, let's say, then at least it would just be showing your ceiling, but
they'd be able to listen to everything you're saying.
I think it does also play audio. I mean, I know you can at least see, but basically I know the super glitch is when you call somebody with the FaceTime, and then you add yourself to the call, then it cuts off, and then it plays the full audio. And there's been some funny internet situations on Twitter.
Oh, 100%, because people are always up to no good. And then when a FaceTime is coming in, you're like, nah, there's no way this is coming through. And then now there's a bug where it can literally fucking come through directly.
The funny thing is, I don't even care. So I actually didn't even I didn't even stop it. I actually just left it open. So if y'all need to hear me, you know, just
you can FaceTime me. FaceTime me, get the plug.
You know where it is.
And this is breaking news as well. We're bringing up obviously some important, fun topics as we're talking about this. But your boy, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Uh oh, this kid.
pleads guilty to 9 counts and could face a minimum of 47 years in prison. And here's a summary of the title of the article. The Brooklyn rapper agreed to 9 federal counts, including racketeering, which is such...
That's like an old school mobster term.
Yeah, 30s.
Yeah, they got like Tommy guns and shit back then.
Racketeering, weapons offenses, and narcotics trafficking. 6ix9ine, who admitted to paying a person to shoot at a rival, cut a deal to cooperate in the hopes of landing a less severe sentence, but could face a minimum of 47 years.
Wow. Yeah, so I don't even know about the whole, you know, he had a couple hits, he had a couple beats, you know, a couple songs. I think he had one like big song with Nicki Minaj, but
he's a star in New York though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He made a splash, but 47 years. And that's
he's about to be Tekashi, get out of jail 2069. I mean, 47 years, that's...
And that's with the plea deal. That's what's the craziest thing is, that's with the plea deal. So, I mean, without the plea deal, they might have just basically said, hey, you're spending the rest of your time in here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Like Bobby Shmurda, he's still locked up, isn't he?
Free Shmurda. Free Shmurda.
I mean, it has to be to the point where you're like, and he's got to come through and get out. That's wild, though. That is...
I don't know, all these, you know, up and coming new rappers and whatnot. Like that's why I appreciate J. Cole. You know, he ain't on the news, you know, with all the crazy stuff, but he's on the news because he's just producing fire. Just you put the music on Apple Music, yeah, your iPhone just lights up, it ignites.
It's true. His new song Middle Child. Double
use the Beats by Dre headphones with the Apple Music.
It will amplify it completely.
Lordy, lordy.
We're talking about other artists, and that came up in a speculation as well with Drizzy, with Drake coming out recently, and like, I don't know, man, he's into some young ladies, like controversial type young, where he's like texting and going back and forth with the girl from Stranger Things. What's her name? Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah, she's three names. Trust this person with three names. Right, if you introduce yourself and you're like, "What's up? My name's Jonathan Ross Jose," I'd be like, "No."
Can I see some ID?
Yeah, let me see an
ID. Let me see some credentials.
Identification,
fam.
Right now.
Let me see some credentials, fam.
But yeah, that footage leaked actually recently of him.
The Stranger Things girl, she's not that old.
She's not that old.
Like, isn't the Stranger Things girl like, how old is the Stranger
like
Things?
Like 13, girl? 14.
A bit of Drake is text messaging her.
This is it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? That's crazy.
I know.
That's crazy.
But then what came out, and this was footage, but this happened like I think 4 or 5 years ago.
He was doing a Degrassi remake.
No, but that is definitely coming soon. But that's, I'm sure, coming back. He's just going to get, he's just going to have the most gangster fucking studded wheelchair. But no, he was on stage and he was like caressing this girl and the audience is going crazy and they're enjoying it. And all of a sudden, she's like, "How old are you, girl?" And she's like, "I'm 17." He's like, and then everyone freaks out. And then he goes,
"Yeah,
obviously, because it's, I mean, illegal in majority of the places." And he goes, "Oh," he goes, "I can't be going to jail for this." And it's like, "Oh no!" So
Drizzy,
yeah, it's one of those where you think about it, and yeah, like some of these artists, you're not going to categorize them all in one, but you know, you got your R. Kelly's, you got your Drizzy's. Cisco, I'm sure, went down.
I mean, yeah, that's the Stranger thing. I hope that's not true and hope that's not verified.
No, but I mean, like growing up, and we were laughing about this before as well, like I grew up where we are right now, like in Knoll Heights. I grew up a neighborhood over for me. So like this is my old stomping ground. Like I've definitely been through this neighborhood. Like Nick P, his dad and like his self used to live like a street over from where you live right now, which is so insane to even think about. But you grew up in New York, right?
Yeah. So I grew up in New York. I grew up originally in the Bronx, had a small stint in Yonkers, Cross County. Actually had a little time up in Rockland County too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was good times. I got tired of the cold real quick though.
Yeah.
And it was nice though, because you know you have the fast pace of the big city and whatnot, and then you know coming down here for FSU and that whole situation, that was real fun. But then you see a lot of people go from you know Florida down south, and they always want to go up to New York.
Yep.
But you see other people from New York and northern places come down to Florida,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I'd rather be on the latter end, because it's like as you're older, you know, it gets cold. And
yeah.
Like, I think Chicago right now is maybe...
like a full polar vortex.
With the vortex.
Yeah.
You know, you sit at, like, with the wind chill, like, minus 16 or something like that.
I don't even know. Like, I've been in negative 27 degree weather in Colorado one time. But, like, no joke, my underwear, like, froze to the point where, like, I was in a hot tub. I, like, took my underwear off, took it out. It was like as hard as like a fucking license plate. It was that cold.
I mean, if it's that cold out, it's not cuffing season.
No.
I'll say that.
You
hands
can't
down.
Have that. And there's like a challenge that's going on during like the polar vortex in all like these Midwest places and all these freezing places. And we were talking about challenges before of how insane some of them are, or how whack some of them are.
I mean, like, so this challenge actually that just came out, I use challenge with quotations because they always have, you know, challenges, whatever. It's not a real challenge, but this one is actually kind of cool, just because you take with these, you know, polar vortexes that's going on, you take a boiling hot pot of water. Now, please be careful with these, because I don't want to see some fails on the internet and people just dropping boiling hot water on themselves, or they pets or nothing. Like, just please be careful.
It's like these people that used to cook like turkeys in their backyard with pressure cookers. You just lit your fucking house on fire.
Just good night.
Shout out to Instapot, who has created something much better than that. But yeah, continue. Polar vortex.
Instapot show. Plugs. So, yeah. So the craziest thing though is they are taking these boiling hot, you know, pots, pans of water, whatever, and then they're actually going out in these sub-zero, you know, temperatures. And the whole quote-unquote challenge, if you will, is to just basically toss it. But you toss it, and it actually turns into instant snow. So it's cool to look at, and I'm sure it's fun and whatnot. But my only issue is nowadays it seems as if there's too many quote-unquote challenges that aren't really challenges.
There seems to be just like them just being released almost every week.
I feel like it's like a Mad Libs where they just had like a blank with like the rest of the words, like blank challenge. And so people are just like applesauce.
Yeah.
Tide Pod challenge. So Tide Pods, people crushing those.
What was the other one? Snorting condoms challenge.
Yeah. So snorting condoms challenge, kids was actually taking condoms and they were trying to snort it through their nose and pull it back out the other side. Sex ed classes probably need to be a little bit better. I feel like this isn't good, and it's going to lead to, you know, more episodes of Teen Mom.
That's the prequel, as we were laughing. Like, that's literally the prequel. Like, oh, you don't know about a condom and how to utilize it? And what do you think, like, even if they even – I don't even know if they teach sex ed anymore in current school today, but you and I are a similar age. We saw what sex ed was all about and, like, obviously going through that in school. Nowadays, they have to incorporate, like, technology and, like – crazier shit.
I mean, all I know is that we don't have, both of us don't have any kids. Like, it's cool to be a great uncle, you know, hang out with them. The kids are great, and then whenever they get upset and it's, you know, time to go to bed,
you're like, bye, bye,
you
bye.
Return them, you know, and it's, you know, it's been great to see you. You know, here's mom and dad. Peace.
Thank you.